I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Tuesday. Back in studio, feeling good. Camp closed today to the media. Off day. But we don't take a day off here at Locked On Bengals. On iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe there. We do this daily. No one's covering training camp like us here at Locked On Bengals. You can follow on Twitter at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals, right now at LockedOnBengals.com. Well, we have a lot. And I'm not just saying that. You can watch me on TV. You could see me on TV. I discuss training camp. Check that out. Guess what I was rocking? A suit jacket. That's very rare in radio. Do you decide to rock a suit jacket? But I did. I had to. And I enjoyed it. By the way, CoreEssentials.com. I know I talked about it yesterday on the podcast. I was rocking the Core Essentials belt. Just so you know, rocking it. Use code Locked On. A lot to get to today. You're going to hear part of my conversation. I joined Lance McAllister at around 4 o'clock today on ESPN 1530 to talk about some takeaways from camp. You're going to hear part of that conversation on today's podcast. It'll be guest-free. I know I was working on guests. It didn't work out time-wise. But I wanted to say this and just break down a few things. The more I look at this team, and I was looking at ESPN, and I just, the more excited I get. ESPN named their top 25 NFL breakout performers or breakout prospects. They say prospects. So like William Jackson III, not a prospect. Some of the Joe Mixon, I don't know if they just don't consider him a prospect anymore. But three Bengals prospects made the list. Part of it was where they were drafted. I don't think that's what it was. They didn't include the first couple rounds of recent drafts. But Carl Lawson was number one. Jordan Willis was number eight. And Andrew Billings was number 16. This team, the more I watch them, the more excited I get. The more excited I'm starting to feel like I felt last year. I'll be completely frank with you. That there's so many weapons on offense. That even though the offensive line is improved, they'll probably have some flaws, which I felt like they would have last year. Flaws. I didn't think they'd be as bad as they were. They can overcome them. The defense, on all levels, has a playmaker, maybe multiple playmakers. Their pass rush is as good as any, I think, at least on paper. I mean, you're talking about Carlos Dunlap, who we heard from yesterday, Carl Lawson, who we heard from last week, Geno Atkins, who never speaks to the media, so you might not ever hear him on this podcast. They have a pass rush, legitimate pass rush. And if Andrew Billings can add to that, if Jordan Willis can add to that, obviously we know what Lawson is. Whew. Sam Hubbard, the rookie. The more I look at this team, and I get it, there's issues, there's things they need to work on, the more excited I get. There's videos up right now of different plays, and one guy that has stood out a lot is Auden Tate. He might not make the team. I know people love him right now. He might not make the team. That's the reality. And there's videos up at LockedOnBengals.com. If he's not making your team, how good is that offense? Think about that. If he doesn't make the team, and right now I'd still probably say it's 60, 70% chance he doesn't, and I think he's going to perform well in the preseason. And that's assuming he does. I still think the odds are he doesn't make the team because it's so deep in the wide receiver room. But the reality is, in just the way the Bengals operate, I think they're going to keep Brandon LaFell, even though I probably wouldn't. The reality is this team's really good, roster-wise. A couple months ago when I came back from vacation, I said, on paper, this team is a playoff team. I've seen that through my first five-plus days at camp. I've seen it. It's flashed. It's shown its ability. Yes, Billy Price has had his issues with snaps. Yes, that needs to get cleaned up. Yes, there are little intricacies and things that even John Ross, Josh Malone, those guys need to work on. But is the potential there? Is the path to the playoffs there, and is it achievable, and is it realistic? Through 5 days at the end of July, July 31st, as I record this, I would say it is. I really would. And we'll see if that's the case as we roll on. We'll get to my conversation with Lance McAllister from ESPN 1530 in just a second. But first, a word from Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. They offer great prices for NFL games and all live events. Go to vividseats.com or download the podcast and enter promo code Locked On. That's one word, LOCKEDON. New customers only. Offer good through the end of August. All Vivid seats. Confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. It's crazy. The Hall of Fame game's right around the corner, by the way. Bears-Ravens takes place Thursday. This Thursday, which means Lamar Jackson watch for Bengals fans officially begins. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Bengals listeners 10% off your first ticket order. New customers only. And the offer is good through the end of August, like I said. So preseason, regular season, all season tickets, all that stuff. Available now, 10% off with promo code Locked On. Check it out right now. Vivid Seats. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. I'm James Rapine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I caught up with Lance McAllister earlier today. I was actually a guest on his show. I figured we'd flip it, and you could hear me as a guest on a show on ESPN 1530. Here's my conversation with Lance.
All right, Bengals training camp observations. You've been down there every day. I've only been down there once. Give me your sense just in terms of, let's start simple, in terms of tone, tempo, vibe. Do you feel, can you feel that being different from a year ago when you were on the sidelines for every practice?
I think so, yeah, because it's, I think it's less what if. Like I'm seeing, it's not, oh, well, what if John Ross can take place on 11-on-11 today, or what if A.J. Green can be the guy? There's not really many question marks. Like Billy Price has had some struggles with his snaps and stuff like that. I think he's going to get that down, right? Like he's a guy that I think we all trust to get down the center to quarterback exchange between now and Indianapolis week one. Yeah, this team, I think, and this is my third year down there covering it for the station, this team is better, at least from what I've seen so far, than the other teams I've watched. Now, will that translate to a bunch of wins? I'm not sure. But I think they have the most talent. It's the deepest roster it's been in my 3 years of covering camp, which obviously my first year, maybe I'm the bad luck, because my first year was the year they their playoff streak ended.
I laid this up to you as a softball, and you can whack it out of the park. And I will admit, having watched him on Sunday, he had a play that I said, oh, wow. I watched John Ross, and as much as I don't like to admit this because it puts a smile on your face, the ability to get off the line of scrimmage and the extra jet down the sidelines, and even watching him go over the middle, excites me. But what I notice, he is clearly happy and has stuff off his shoulders. I see a smile on his face when he's coming back to the huddle. He's interacting with his teammates. He looks like an entirely different player from a happiness and confidence standpoint to me.
No doubt. He looks comfortable to me.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean that he's not trying or working hard or trying to earn his spot. It just means he's comfortable with his job.
Yes.
And you think back to your first day on air, maybe, to now. You know?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That to me is the thing that I've noticed most with John Ross, because the physical tools, I've said it a ton. I think they're there. Other people don't, fine. But I think they're there. I think we've seen them so far. Now, the key is proving that he deserves to play over Brandon LaFell, that he deserves to be the number two, that he's better than anyone else they have in that wide receiver room. I know he offers things that those guys don't, but he needs to earn that, because I think for this offense to reach its full potential, which I think it could be really, really good, Ross needs to be the number two guy. He needs to be the guy that's contributing a lot. And that doesn't mean catching a bunch of passes, but just making the defense dictate or bend themselves and mold themselves to what Ross does. Oh my God, Ross is going deep. We need to put a safety over the top. Then A.J. Green's on the other side. But you're right. Like, he looks very – it was deer in the headlights last year, and it made me nervous. I just didn't say it. This year it looks completely different. Oh, 180, and I think that you think back to him working out with T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that helps a lot. I really do.
I hesitate to bring up William Jackson III because it seems like we're always talking about him, but there's a reason we're always talking about him through camp. I watched him on Sunday on a deep ball against AJ go stride for stride, and at the last second bat the pass down, the oohs and ahs from the crowd. That's not an isolated incident. And going back to the Pro Football Focus love and fast forwarding to now, there is reason for people to be excited about William Jackson III.
I think he's going to be, as long as he stays healthy, which, you know, you have to assume, the best corner in the Marvin Lewis era. And that...
Better than J-Jo?
Jonathan Joseph, yeah, right. Leon Hall. You're talking about first-round corners
that
have been really good, have went to Pro Bowls, and I think he has a chance to be a top-five corner in the league. He might be a top-five cover guy now, But I think he can get there. Look, the fact that AJ, and I watched a couple practices ago, I watched AJ Green not struggle against William Jackson, but it was hard on him. The fact that William's making it very hard on him to just catch a pass in practice, it's going to make Green better. It's going to make William Jackson better. And I think the most interesting thing about Jackson, and I asked him this, and he said he would love to do it, is if Terrell Austin puts Jackson on the other team's best receiver every play. Should he guard T.Y. Hilton every play week one? Should he guard it's week four, I think? Should he guard Julio Jones every single play? I would do it, and I think it would just make that defense that much better because you have that pass rush and yes. Dre doesn't have to guard these high-end talent wide receivers. So this is a luxury if you have a guy like that, and I think they do in William. Thank you so much for listening today. That was really interesting to me. The questions Lance asked, the tempo, all that stuff, it matters. And I'm just curious to see what this offense looks like when they can unleash it week one, unleash it week two. First two games of the season, mightily important with that schedule. I was talking to someone with the Bengals yesterday, and they were like, yeah, if we can just get through the first four games with two or three wins, then there's a real shot for this team to make a run. I'm James Erpine. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening today. Back at it tomorrow from training camp. We'll get you some interviews as well. Until then, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.